श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय। दिस इज फर्दर डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द पोजीशन ऑफ द गोपीज। इट्स ऑल्सो द सेम वसंत तिलक छंदस लाइक ब्रह्म संहिता। प्रेष्टं प्रयत्तरमिह प्रतिभाषमानं कृष्णं तरर्त विनिवर्तित सर्वकामा नेत्रे विमृज्य रितो महते स्म किश्चित् संरम्भ गद्गर गिरो भुवनानुरक्ता। ब्रजगोपीस have given up all other desires for their beloved Sri Krishna. Yet Krishna has just spoken to them just like opposite of a beloved. The gopis stop crying and wipe the tears from their eyes. Because the gopis are so firmly attached to Krishna, they want to reply, but their voices just choke up with agitation. Gadgara giro. Gira, gira means speech. Not Giriraj, but gira. Gadgara gira. We'll get to that. But I have some introduction. First I gave the title, The Gopis Prepare to Speak. Yesterday they were preparing to speak. And today they're preparing to speak. Sometimes it takes us a while to say what we want to say. We have to think it over and feel it and then direct our feelings and formulate our statements, and if we have any conscious control over what we're about to say, and then speak. So the gopis, they don't know what to say or how to say what they will say. But they know they want to say something. That everything that Krishna said, what he said, they know. Why he said, they're not clear. And where his words lead to, they're totally confused. So the acharyas are explaining here, the gopis prepare to speak. So I have a small introduction which I wrote. Krishna just finished his lecture on Dharma, which he gave to the gopis to make them afraid of breaking or violating the laws of moral conduct. Although Krishna had rebuked the gopis, their lives were still so tightly bound to Krishna's lotus feet of Sri Hari in a very beautiful book by Sri Prabhupada Saraswati. It's called Ashcharya Rasa Prabandha. And of course, Prabhupada Saraswati was a great musician and a great devotee. It's said that he's Tunga Vidya Sakhi, although some acharyas conclude that Tunga Vidya Sakhi is Sri Vrakreshwara Pandit. And that's the general consensus. But also it's told like this, Tunga Vidya Sakhi. So in that book, he describes Ras Leela, the basic format of the Ras Leela, the five elements of a love story, attraction, then meeting and conflict and separation, reunion, etc., which we discussed several classes ago. But then it has all different twists that Radharani leaves Krishna, not that Krishna leaves Radha. So that's the way we like to hear it. That Krishna's left with his hands empty and his flute silent and his heart broken with gopis to run away. So it's very nice twist. And our beloved God brother, the most qualified and poetic Shakespeare amongst us, Sri Dasarath Sutaji, he's quite an amazing devotee. He's translated many works that no one else ever even thought to tackle. And this is one of them which she personally sent me. It's, I think, available here and there. So there he has these verses that what we call the Pranaya Gita. They're also recounted by him with this phenomenal Sanskrit expertise that it would be an interesting contest if you put Sukadeva Goswami in one corner and Prabhupada Saraswati in another corner. Who would win? With all respect to Sri Sukadeva Goswami, probably the judges would choose Prabhupada Saraswati because he didn't start as a Brahmavadi, or maybe he started as a Mayavadi. That's also a possibility. There's different viewpoints on that. And at one time I had one viewpoint and now I have another viewpoint. So viewpoints change, as the angle of vision means the viewpoint, the point of view. So Prabhupada Saraswati, he said, Hari para drida jivane bada. He says, Hari para drida jivane bada. This is very nice. This one phrase. Because I don't have, my brain can only hold a few words. So I put a few words. Hari para drida jivane bada. This is very nice. He said, before he begins revealing the Pranaya Gita of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukamuni Vyasadeva said he wrote the whole Vedas. He wrote the whole 10th canto. He wrote all the 12 cantos and he wasn't satisfied. Wrote all 12, 10, everything he wrote. So then he was despondent. And Narada Muni came to see Vyasadeva, his disciple. He said, oh, my devotee, you're unhappy. So the father, the guru cares for the disciple. You're unhappy, why? What is the cause? You. Oh. But he said, no, not you, Narada Muni. He said, "This I've written this work, but I'm not satisfied." And so then Narada Muni, he looked at it and he said, oh, You wrote the Braj Leela in the Vishnu Puran and the Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, so many places, Brihad Vaishnava, different works you described and mentioned Ras Leela and the Braj Leela. But there's something missing. There's one thing as description. Anyone can read and describe. But there has to be Ras inside. You're missing, you actually miss the Prem Ras of Braj. So then, what to do? He said, you have to do this Leela again. So then there was a second writing of the 10th canto. He went into meditation. And then he wrote the 10th canto, Dasma Skanda, again, reworked the Sanskrit. This is how it was told. And then that writing is called Samadhi Bhashya. Bhashya means words, language. Govinda Bhashya. So this is Samadhi. So in Samadhi, he saw the Braj Leela. Not he saw, but he felt the rasas. So then he wrote the 10th canto. Then it became Rasa Chirtasya. Then Lord Chaitanya, that verse I mentioned, Sarvavidanta Saram Hi. This verse is spoken by Lord Chaitanya himself in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I forget the context, but he was glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi, Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate. He said, this Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi, Srimad Bhagavat is the essence of all Vedanta. And it's Triptasya, Rati Syat. When one reads the Bhagavatam, he will experience so much tripta, satisfaction and happiness, that he'll he will lose all attraction. He, she will lose all attraction or interest in any other literature. It won't matter what you read anything. Oh, I want to read the Bhagavatam. Oh, look at Jiva Goswami's tikas. Look at Sridhar Goswami's tikas. Look at Vishnu Chakravarti's tikas. Just like we read the Bhagavatam, read the whole thing. with so many with some tikkas. Then Vishnu's tikkas came out. Then again, we go back to the first canto. Now we read the Bhagavatam as it is Vishnu Chakravarti. Bhagavatam as it is Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavatam as it is Sri Jiva Goswami. Bhagavatam as it is Sri Vallabhacharya. Bhagavatam as it is Sri Hari Sari, some famous commentator, Radha Govinda Swami likes, and Gadadhara Bhatta, and so many great commentators are there. So they all have their flavor. So he wrote the Rasleela, Shukadeva Goswami, in the Samadhi Vasya. But when you compare Ashraya Rasa Prabandha by Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's not writing as a Brahmavadi who became a devotee after being attracted to the verses of the Bhagavatam, which his disciples of Vyasadeva spoke two verses to him, Ahobaki, and then one other one, Varhapitam, Varavapu. There's two verses. He was immersed in Brahman. He left the womb, Shukadeva Goswami, ran to the forest, and he was immersed in Brahman, and he fully absorbed himself in the Brahman. He just appeared to be like a ball of light. There was no distinction of gender, no distinction of age. So when the naked women were bathing in the pukora, or the lake for the ladies to bathe, and they were young, probably maybe virgins or whatever, young ones, can't say, but they were naked. And then they looked and they didn't see anything. They just saw a ball of light. So they didn't. There's no man, there's no boy, there's no 16-year-old boy, naked 16-year-old boy. They didn't see. So they kept bathing. But then Vyasadeva, there were disciples, or Vyasadeva was chasing him. Oh, my son, my putra. Then, oh, Vyasadeva is a great sage, great rishi. Vyasadeva, it's a form of descent of Krishna, Vyasadeva. He's a Shakti of Aish, avatar of Krishna. Vyasadeva. Oh. And then they covered themselves with lotus petals or whatever, went under the water. So then Vyasadeva came back and he said, I can't catch him. Can anyone catch Brahman? If his son is merged in Brahman, and Brahman is like everywhere and all pervading and so fast. It's there. No, I catch him here. No, he's there. Where? Catch the light. Okay, I caught the light. Oh, you caught the light there, but what about the light there? So how do you catch one who's Brahman? So he couldn't. The only thing that can catch Brahman is Shabda Brahman. <All right. So he came back and he said, I can't catch him. I'm running after him. He has a body, he's running after me, but his body is merged in Brahman. So I have to use another astra. So he went back and he told two disciples, go speak these two verses. Speak these two verses, which I wrote in the Bhagavatam, and see what it does. So there's astra and shastra. Astra means the chakra. Then astra means the shastra. That's why you say sha-astra. Sa-astra means with power. Shastra. Sha-astra. So the two combined, there's shastra and shastra. Astra and astra. It's technical, but anyway. So he went back, and then they... Disciples ran out and they're shouting, Ahobaki, Kalastana Kuta. And then the other one is Barhapitam Vrap Vapu. So I can't remember. I'm not, you know, born in Holland. all glories. And a thousand more glories. And if my head is at his feet, I'm successful. But I have some idea. So, first verse is spoken by Uddhav in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Ahobaki Kalastana Kuta, Stana Kalakuta, Stana Kalakuta. It's spoken by Uddhav. He's Ahobaki, Aho means, wow, this is amazing, Shabbas, Aho. Aho. This lady, Stana means a breast, she smeared Kalakuta poison, the same poison that Shiva drank and became Nilakant. And all the demigods were like, whoa, you know, we churned the ocean and Kir Samudra Mantan, Asura, and the churning of the ocean, and this Vish came out. It's poison. Sounds like they churn the ocean today, you know. you don't have to churn the ocean. You just pick up a cup that's full of oil and, you know, atomic waste and who knows what, you know. Who's gonna drink that? I don't think Shiva could even drink it. Forget about your throat turning blue. He'd be like black and blue. I mean, Shiva drank it. So that poison, that same poison, was on her breast to kill baby Gopal, who is only 6 days old. 6 days old. The only thing a baby knows is the stan of his mata stan, the breast and nipple of his mother. That's his lifeline. That's his everything. And so Putana comes and says, yes, I want to offer you my life. I mean life, which was death, poison. So this verse, Vyasadeva says, Buddha says, oh, how amazing! Putana came to kill Krishna. And then the verse is, Vaikuntha Datri. It says, but rather than killing her, he made Putana his nurse. He gave her Vatsalya Bhav, parental love of a mother, and brought her to Goloka Vrindavan. He didn't lock her up in some place in Vaikuntha. Why? Because there's no Vatsalya Ras in Vaikuntha. There's only 2.5 rasas in Vaikuntha. Shanta, Dasya, and half Madhurya. 2.5. Shant, there's 5 rasas. There's Shanta Ras and Dasya Ras and half of Madhurya. Half of Madhurya means Swakya. Vishnu is married to Lakshmi, so that's Swakya. Swakya, belonging, my own, belonging to me. Parakya, belonging to someone else. But Krishna on Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost Vaikuntha planet, he has Pura Madhurya, Vishuddha Madhurya. Because there's Swakya and Dwarka, the queens, and there's Parakya and Braj. Even one Purana says that Krishna married Rukmini in Mathura. That's why he was in Mathura. He went to Sandipani's school, and Sandipani Muni's school. Then he got his Brahmin initiation because he's a Kshatriya. He's Devaki Nandan in Mathura. Vasudev Sutta. So as a son of a Kshatriya, you should be properly taught by in the Gurukul, and then take your, from the Guru in the Gurukul, you'll receive your Brahmin thread. The 3 higher castes get the Brahmin thread. So, and you can't get married until you get the Brahmin thread, and that's why the rishis and sages were praying to Katyayini. They said, please, Mahayogini, you're a great yogini, and please, will you arrange for us to marry Krishna? And when Purnamasi came and said, you're praying like this to me, Katyayini, but why should I do that? Why should I do that? You just wait. No. See, you have to use your mystic. We're calling you Mahayogini. We're saying you're the Mahayogini because Krishna's not married yet. And in the Vedic system, he hasn't been initiated yet. So unless he's initiated, gets his upavita, he can't get married. So that hasn't happened. He's just a coward boy, and that's never going to happen in Braj. So please make arrangements with your yoga power, even without his getting his Brahman, not Brahman initiation, but his upavita, that his initiation, that we can marry him. This is all part of the tikkas of Vishwanath on the story of Katyayini Brat, Mriga Shirsha, and Bhagavatam, and chapter maybe, I don't know, 10:23. Is that right? 21 is Vaino Gita, then 22 is stealing the clothes of the unmarried gopis. Is that right? Yeah. So at any rate, he spoke these 2 verses. One verse is, the first verse is glorifying the incredible compassion of Krishna. So if this doesn't touch the heart, this is so powerful, the incredible compassion of Bhaktivatsalya Sri Krishna, that Vyasadeva calculated that this will begin to crack open the hardened heart of a Brahmavadi like his son Shukadeva. First you have to crack open the heart. Wow, that's amazing. The Brahman in the form of Krishna, if you want to think of it that way, that's how the Mayavadis say. He has so much compassion. It makes one think. So Shukadeva is a great thinker, a Muni. Excuse me. Shukamuni was a great Muni, a great thinker. Muni means Manishibi. Manishibi means one who uses his man. Man means the brain, his mind, Manishibi. So he is a Muni. So that's the first verse. Crack open the heart of the Brahmavadi and make him think about some higher idea, different idea, personal conception. It worked. Then the second shot, the second verse was Varhapitam. And this is from actually the Venugita, chapter 21 of the 10th canto. And here many acharyas, including our Shiksha Guru, have told me that, and said also, that this verse is one of the best verses for meditating on the beauty of Krishna. Spoken by the gopis, maybe. I'm not sure which specific gopi, it slips my mind right now. But this particular verse, it describes Krishna as we want to see him, and Krishna as we want to love him in Vrindavan. Vrindavan Sri Krishna. Varhapitam Varavapu Natavara. He's dressed as a dramatic actor on a stage with flowers in his hair and a beautiful Vaijayanti garland and a yellow dhoti and a chadar over his head. Beautiful smile dancing on his lips and flute in his hand. I can't remember all the details. A very beautiful, sweet verse describing Krishna's attraction. So that will capture the heart of Shukadeva. So Vyasadeva's calculation and summation was correct. His son Shukamuni was running away and he heard that verse. Oh, this is amazing. That, oh, this is such a beautiful person is being described here. Such a beautiful person. He has a pagri, a turban on his head, and his turban usually doesn't have a diamond diadem, a hira diadem. He doesn't have a diadem on his turban or some gold. He has a peacock feather. He has a mor mukut in his pagri, in his peacock feather in his turban. And he's not wearing a gold lame jacket. He just has a cheddar over his shoulder and his chest is bare. And so Shukadeva Goswami became totally attracted and he came back. But our Prabhupada Saraswati, he apparently, at least what I understand from my guru, he had the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was the former Prakashananda Saraswati, is consensus over here in the Radhakund amongst the leading acharyas and many others. So this is kind of a debatable point, different sides. Even there's law cases and a different viewpoint about the authorship of Radha Sudaniti. Is it Hit Hari Vams or is it Prabodhananda Saraswati? There's a case in the court right now, and our beloved Keshav Das Babaji Maharaj is in charge of the case now, and the case was also there 100 years ago and 200 years ago. It's going on and on. And as our wonderful Para Guru, Prabhupada Sri Ananda Gopal Goswami, so nicely said when he gave lectures in 1950 about a Damodar, Ananda Gopal Goswamiji was speaking. So many wonderful katha and Radharas Sudaniti. And he said, well, who's the author? And Gaudiya say Prabhupada Saraswati and Hithari Vamsh, what they call the Radhavallabhis. The Radhavallabhis say it's Hithari Vamsh, that he wrote it when he was 6 months old. He didn't write it, he just spoke it when he was in the cradle. He was in the cradle as a baby when he was 6 months old. He just spoke the 270, or what they say is 270 verses of the Radharas Sudaniti. Amazing personality. But the style, the Sanskrit style, and he never wrote anything else, interestingly enough. And the Sanskrit style of Prabhupada Saraswati, and he wrote Vrindavan Mahimamrita, and he wrote Ascharya Prabandha, and he wrote Saranga Rangada Tikas on the Krishna Karnamrita. That's the name of a Tika, Prabhupada Saraswati. So he wrote Chaitanya Chandramrita. He wrote several books. in Sanskrit only, and all of them have the same style. So the little bit of heavy evidence on the side of Prabodhananda Saraswati, and none of the other six Goswamis have the style of Prabodhananda Saraswati. No one. It's unique, very unique and extraordinary. It's just, so Nanda Gopal, he said, I can't say, I'm not sure who the author is, but I would like to make a comment, if you would, he said. Just imagine a man is walking along on a hot summer day, and he comes to a grove of trees, and he says, oh, nice shade there, must be cool under those trees. So he goes under the trees, he leans about against a tree, and he appreciates the relief from the scorching sun of the Indian summer, and then he's relaxing in the shade, and then he looks up, oh, wow, this is a mango grove. It's full of mangoes, and they're yellow and orange and red and ripe. So then, there's so many mangoes. A tree is hanging down. I grab one here and Jai Ho, Sri Vishnu. a little fast, 3.429 second offering. And then, I mean, the main thing is you moved your heart towards God. You remembered God. How many people, before they bite, they even think about God? They call it Thanksgiving. Okay, good. So you just turning your heart to God, turning your mind to God, turning your thoughts to God for 1 minute, it's very good. Then you do Achman, and you put it on a silver plate, and you put a little Ganga Jal, then you put the Tulsi, and then you even want to do the Vaidhi Marg and do all kinds of mudras. Purification, get rid of the Bhutas and Pretas and all the subtle beings that try to enter in there. And then that's why you ring the bell, because when they hear the bell, they run away. Conch shell, shank, ganta, agarbati, and mantra. These are the things that repel the subtle beings. Shank, ganta, agarbati, and mantra. So you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, they fly away. All auspiciousness. You chant the Hare Krishna. That's why people put in a little plug. So this person is enjoying this mango in the shade of the mango grove, relief from the heat and relief from his hunger. And then another gentleman enters the mango grove, also seeking shade. And he says, oh, sir, excuse me, I have some questions. Whose mango grove is this? Who planted these mango trees? I don't know. No, who owns this field or who owns this land? I don't know. How many verses are there? I mean, how many mangoes are there? How many mangoes are there in this tree? Is there 270 mangoes or 272 mangoes? I don't know. So then the person eating the mango says, listen, you know, I don't have the answer to any of those questions. Why don't you just take a mango and enjoy? Just take a mango and enjoy the sweet, you know, satisfying taste of the mango. So this was Prabhupada Sri Ananda Gopal Goswamiji's reply to the author of the Radharasa Nidhi. And he said, I really don't know who the author is. I'm just relishing the sweet mango juice of these words. And those tikkas and commentaries of his have been woven into the very beautiful commentaries of Srila Anantadas Babaji Maharaj, along with one great Grihastha devotee, Madhusudan Das Adhikari. I believe so. These three are mentioned in the beginning of the book, so they're a beautiful blend of three great Rasikjan have combined. Interesting combination of contribution to Radharasa Nidhi. It's a real United Nations, although sometimes they different viewpoints and different ideas of different points, maybe differences of viewpoint, some minor details of tattva with different lineages. But here we have the Advaita Parivar, Prabodhananda Saraswati, and we have the Nityananda Parivar with Srila Natadas joining hands in the same purport of Vilap Kusumanjali and Radharasa Nidhi. So it's a joint venture. So we're very much appreciating, and we're getting so much value and direction, inspiration from the most famous and qualified representative of the Nityananda Parivar in the form of Pujya Sri Anantadas Babaji Maharaj. And we're getting the blessings of one of the great Rasikacharyas and direct descendants of Sri Advaitacharya himself, the family member. Prabhupada Ananda Gopal Goswami. So it's a great honor for us as the Advaita Parivar that we can have our presence and our contribution in the books and some major books of the Nityananda Parivar representative. Did you know that? You knew that. It's nice. I like it very much. So this verse, Prabhupada Saraswati is saying, Haripada Drita Jivani Bada. He says, oh, I pray to the Braja Gopis for such a blessing. He says, the lives of the gopis were very tightly bound to the lotus feet of Sri Hari. And this is the Sanskrit, is Haripada Drita Jivani Bada. Jiva means their life. Like we say, Bada Jiva means bound, tied up, bound, trapped. So the Nibada means very much completely bound. Jivatma means the living Atma. Because we don't say, that's the Mayavadis say Atma, we say Jivatma. They say Atma, Atma Drishti, Atmananda. We say Jivatmananda. We say that the Atma is alive with consciousness and differentiation. Savashesh, Brahma, they say Nirvishesh. So this is the difference. So Jiva Nibbada. Drida means very firmly, Pada Drida. Hari Pada Drida Jiva Nibbada. This is Saraswati. This is Saraswati. Hari Pada Drida Jiva Nibbada. Nibbada. It's very nice. Haripad. So Haripad, the main word is Hari. So you can see that Hari is such a dear name that the gopis' lives are bound. So I took that lead and I said, yes, I'm praying to the Braja Gopis for such a blessing. So why didn't I ask a question? This is my introduction after we read the translation. Why didn't the gopis, Braja Gopis, just accept Krishna's rejection and go home? And then Prabhupada Saraswati answers this question in Ascharya Rasa Prabandha. And he says, It is impossible for Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis to ever, for any cause or reason, law or logic, to give up Krishna. For any cause or reason, or law, or logic. So in other words, these things, if we bring these principles or these conceptions into the field of bhakti or into the field of Krishna bhakti bhajan, cause and reason and logic and law, then there's no bhakti bhajan. And what to speak, there may be vaidhi bhakti bhajan, but there won't be rag bhakti bhajan. Because rag is a platform of love, and in love there's no law. So if you try to bind Krishna by law, and then you'll say, oh, this is immoral, this is unlawful, Krishna's running with the wives of others, so you can't have any access. But if you're humble and submissive and say, God can do anything, oh, the carpenter said, really, Narada Muni, it was like that. And the Brahmin said, oh, Narada Muni, you just came from Vaikuntha and you asked about me. He said, yeah, I asked. He said, you're coming back in three births. Are? Three births? I'm such a pakka Brahmin, you know. I iron my clothes twice a day, and I'm looking so smart, you know. What's happening? And then it goes to the carpenter. Oh, Kumar Sab. He's a carpenter, Kumar. He says, you're going back to Krishna. Oh, that's nice, wonderful. I can make some shoes for him, you know. I always want to make some shoes for Krishna, you know. And then Narada said, but he doesn't wear shoes. That's Vaikuntha, man. You gotta, no, I don't want to go to Vaikuntha. So, oh, the hell with this shoemaking. I'll do something else. Krishna doesn't wear shoes. Sanatana Goswami says that in his purport in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. He says, because the verse says Krishna went out with the cows, and you know, coward men usually wear some slippers or sandals or chappals or something. And then he makes it a very important point that they don't wear shoes. And then the Govinda Lilamrita, then Krishna's Kaviraj taking that lead from the Bhagavatam that Krishna's going barefoot. He spun from that tikka of Sanatan Goswami. Then later on the banks of Radhakund, when Krishna's Kaviraj Govinda Lilamrita, he spun a whole lila from that. Because the Bhagavatam says Krishna took out the cows, and Sanatana Goswami writes in the 10th canto, chapter 12 or 13 or so, when out with the cows and boys, he said, oh, Krishna was going walking in the bare feet, no shoes. So in the Govinda Lilamrita, in the Purvan Lila from 8:36 in the morning until 10:48, Krishna's taking out the cows, and then Madhish, oh, Lalaji, there's so many little dried wheat things and thorns and dried sticks, and your feet are tender, more tender than butter, and you get... And they say, no, Janani means mother. No, Janani, you don't understand. It's not like that, you know. The footpaths are very nice, you know. You don't know. See, what happens is that the footpaths, all the Brajaraj is mixed with thousands and thousands of tons of gober. Because the cows, we have 9 lakhs of cows that are walking up and down the same road. So 9 lakhs of cows walking up and down the same road, you better believe there's going to be a lot of gober mixed in that road. So when all that gober means cows, byproducts, and the one you don't make the milkshake with, that's being mixed in the dirt. And so that's one thing. It's very soft, and everyone knows it's very soft. And when I go to the Radhakund, there's a sidewalk that goes like this, but then there's a place where the cows stand. And every kid knows that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So you have to go, oh, I'm going down the side right like this and go like that. So everybody's pretty much like a robot in this material world. So they just, oh, you go right and then you turn left. But I thought, no, the shorter I'm coming here, I can go cut. Why I go around the corner? If I cut off the corner, it's faster. Besides, yeah. we walk the same. So I want to walk through there for two reasons, because that dirt, that land, even the cows inside the house, that's where the cow sits, that's where the cow poops, that's where the cow's footprints are. So that land is totally pavitram. That land is totally pavitram by the feet of the cow and the cow dung mixed in the land. It's Brajaraj also. I walk on the street, the sidewalk is very comfortable, it's all sticks and stones there, maybe I hurt my feet, I don't care. I deliberately walk through there to get purified. To purify my feet and the smell, the beautiful smell. So this is the bare feet. So Krishna said it feels very soft when you walk through some stones. And some, it's very nice to walk where the cows walk regularly. It's very, very comfortable. So Krishna says it's like this, but not only that, mother. Over the hot sun, you know, you should carry an umbrella. And Krishna said, all right. He says, you should carry an umbrella. It's so hot, the scorching summer sun. Go out there right now, May 20th, and see what you think. No thanks. You know? And so Krishna, you take an umbrella. And then Krishna says, all right, I'll take an umbrella. But you have to get 9 lakhs of umbrellas for the cows. And I'll tie them on the tails of the cows. 2 pairs for every cow. If you buy 2 pairs of shoes for every cow, then I'll wear. And besides, it's our and the cows don't wear shoes, so how can we wear shoes? Because this is our dharma. We have to take out the cows. So Krishna, so this whole description is in Govinda Lilamrita. When there's some little embellishment, when you go on the Braj Yatra, then you add about the umbrella and other things. Lila is Lila. Tattva is Tattva. So you don't try to find Tattva in Lila. But you can find Leela and Tattva. That takes a special eye. It's like everywhere in the Gita, in 12th chapter in the Gita, I believe it's 12th chapter of Gita, if you can remind me, there's a series of verses, and the last line says, Priyosime, Priyosime, Priyosime. So long ago, I gave a lecture, Radharani and the Bhagavad Gita, because they asked me to give a class in Delhi on Bhagavad Gita. So I said, okay, I'll give you a class. So I went back and I thought, I want to give a class, but I want to give a very interesting class about Gita. So then I explained, and then everyone's like, what is this? You know? Radharani and the Bhagavad Gita. I said, yeah. It's 12th chapter, yeah? Yeah, there's about 10 verses. Krishna says he's describing the qualities of Radharani and describing the bhav and the position and the state of Radharani, of the consciousness of the supreme devotee. The supreme devotees in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He said, one who is like this and like that, priyosime, he or she is very dear to me. They are my priya. So I said, these verses, Krishna is standing on the battlefield. Rather, maybe sitting, whatever. But he's standing there speaking to Arjuna and speaking Bhagavad Gita in the middle of the Mahabharata. And it's the chapters in the middle of the Mahabharata book. And he's remembering Radharani. Because last time he was in a chariot, he was once in Kurukshetra. And there was two parking lots in Kurukshetra. There was two parking lots. And one parking lot was Bailgadi. Another parking lot was Rath. Rath. Rath means chariot. So Krishna, he said, Gopis, come with me. Come on my chariot. I'll take you to Dwarka. And they said, no, you come on our Bailgadi. We'll take you to Vrindavan. So when he was there in this chariot, he said, oh, in this same place, Kurukshetra, when I was 50 years old, because people say different things, what I've heard, not from my guru, but from some other sannyasi, he said he was around 50 years old when he was at the solar eclipse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he was on a battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was 100. So it was 50 years later. If anyone knows a different figure, then they can correct me, but that's what I know. Definitely a sequence. His first, he met the gopis. That was way before Kurukshetra. So Kurukshetra was way, way, way long after. So there he is in Kurukshetra. He's remembering. So Arjuna is just standing there, and Krishna is enunciating, and all these different qualities. I can't remember all the points. Then he says, priyosime. I said, see all these qualities. And then I went through each verse, and I explained how Radharani, this is perfect, all these qualities and these types of feelings and attitudes of the pure devotee of Krishna, they're fully seen in Radharani. And I said, so these verses, Krishna's remembering Radharani, and that's why he's saying, Priya, 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 O Priyaji. Krishna says, O Priyaji, and she looks at him and says, O Priyatam. O Priyaji, O Priyatam. So this is, Priyatam is glorifying Priyaji in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is my viewpoint. So, hey, Bhagavan. So the cows don't wear shoes, so we can't wear shoes. So then all that whole thing came from the seed of Sanatana Goswami's commentary on the 10th canto. Krishna only has bare feet in Braj. So the gopis can never reject Krishna. And it says, why? Because they are ati anuraga rasanda. This is also Prabodhananda Saraswati, who I like very much. He says, Ati anuraga rasanda. Andha means blind. Like, so the gopis, they're ati anuraga rasanda. They are blind. Ati anuraga. They have excessive, because of their excessive attachment to Krishna, they're totally blind to everything. So when ras means liquid, or there's too much ras, then you become blind, you know? Rasanda. So they're under, they're rasanda, they're blind by the Madhurya ras. They're tasting so much joy and bliss in the association of Krishna. And it's always new and fresh. It's never boring or old or hackneyed or stale. So they're like, they're just blind. They don't, you can lift me and break me and throw me and catch me and pull me and throw me up. I'll never leave you. So that's how the devotees felt in Second Avenue when they met A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. You know, Mukunda, Satsarup, and Kirtanananda, and Brahmananda. This Prabhupada is phenomenal. He sings, he dances, he cooks, he answers all the questions, he knows everything. He's a phenomenal. So imagine the qualities of Krishna for the gopis. So Prabhupada Saraswati said they can never reject Krishna. Ordinarily, if someone got all these lines and phrases that Krishna is using, they would just give up their lover and run away and run home and find another one. Ati anuraga rasanda. Why don't they leave Krishna? Because they're blinded by the blissful taste of their loving attachment for Krishna. Blinded by the blissful taste of their loving attachment for Krishna. So he does things and he acts in such a way to create such love in the gopis. And these are the personalities who we are worshipping, Gopi Anugatya. We have to always hear about the gopis and always speak about the gopis and always remember the gopis. Because they are the ones that will give the love in their heart. We don't want the love in Krishna's heart. We want the love in the gopis' heart. We want the love in the gopis' hearts for Krishna and the love in the gopis' hearts for Radharani. Some gopis love Radharani equally. Some asneya adik. They have equal love for Radha and Krishna. And some love Krishna more than their Krishna sneya adik. And some are Radha sneya adik. So they all have love for Krishna. So we're Gopi Anuguta. We want their love. We want to become like that. We want to receive their mercy. We're worshipping gopis. We worship the sweetness in Krishna, and we can attain the sweetness in Krishna. The Madhurya is the sweetness. We are worshippers of the sweetness in Krishna, and we can attain that sweetness in Krishna by getting the hearts of the gopis one with our hearts, because they are relishing the sweetness of Krishna to the utmost. That's why they are ati anuraga rasa anda. They are blinded by that relish of that Madhurya ras, and it's completely new at every moment. Ati anuraga rasanda. Rasanda. So this, our Prabhupada Saraswati, not only he speaks the highest type of tattva and philosophy, even in the context of describing the sweetest and most intimate confidential rasas. That's why I'm particularly enamored and attracted by Prabhupada Saraswati, myself. And I must thank my various well-wishers for that introduction. I was given that book, and then it's so nice. So now Prabhupada explains, when he gives some words, he says, the gopis are not ordinary women. It's very nice when you see the different acharyas, the commentaries, how they take different viewpoints. So Prabhupada, when you read, oftentimes Prabhupada is reminding us of the transcendental position of the gopis and Krishna. He often says very sweet and intimate things about the leelas, but he's always reminding us, because Prabhupada is Jagat Guru for the modern world, and he has experience and understanding of the situation. So the modern world are all mad about Radha and Krishna. The modern world are all mad about the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. So therefore, when Vishwanath and Jiva and Sanatan, their living here was just a jungle, it was just a forest. And they're just hearing birds and bees buzzing and birds singing and the pitter-patter of water, the Yamuna falling over the rocks. There was no distraction. So they just commented on all the aspects and anubhavas and sattvikbhavas and all the aspects of the leela in their commentaries without any consideration or thought about how does this all impact or how does this all relate to the modern person. So I appreciate how Prabhupada reminds us and brings us back. So to read, that's why we're reading, if one just reads the 10th canto, Ras Leela, let's say, with the commentaries, whatever commentaries he has in front of him. For example, us, we have Vishwanath and Jiva and Sridhar. They will only hear all the different sweetnesses and all the different analysis of the Ras, of the Leelas. But they won't be reminded. And we are very we residents of the modern time are very unfortunate when we're born in this age of Kali, 5,000 years in progress. We are very crazy personalities with all kinds of misconceptions and weird ideas. So a gentle reminder from the benevolent and compassionate heart of Srila Prabhupada is always welcome, so that we can tread the path of bhajan with a very sober mind and clear conception of what's going on. So the gopis are not ordinary women, Srila Prabhupada says. In essence, they are on an equal level with Krishna. They are Krishna's eternal associates. And this is confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhava tavis tabirya eva nijarupa taya kalavi goloka eva nivasat yakilatma bhuta govindam adipurusha. Goloka nivasat, nivas, goloka nivas. Very easy. Goloka nivas. Nivas means living with, and nivas means living very tightly with. Nivas, not just Goloka Vas, Goloka Nivas. So Nivas may mean house, you can call a house Nivas, or can mean Vas means living with or residing with or very tightly or intimately. So a Krishna lives in their hearts and he lives outside their hearts. The lover always lives in the heart of the beloved and also outside the heart of the beloved. They are one and they are different. So the gopis are in Krishna's heart, but he's also on the ground with Yashoda, and they're in Yavat and Varsana. So Prabhupada said, this is confirmed, they're the expansions of the pleasure potency. They're the pratibhavitabhis, kala, they're expansions. The ananda chinmaya ras. Expansions of the pleasure potency of Krishna, and as his potency are they non-different from him. So this is what it says in the BBT book, Prabhupada's comment, in the Krishna book commentary. And I have my own translation of that verse, which I'll read to you, Ananda Chinmaya Ras. Krishna manifested from his own internal potency unlimited numbers of blissful loving sakis like Srimati Radharani. Govinda Sri Krishna lives eternally in Goloka Vrindavan with Srimati Radharani and all the sakis, who are direct expansions of his own Satchidananda form. Of his own Satchidananda form. And every gopi knows all the arts. Because in the verses, kala, kalabi. The word kala means kalakendra. Kalakendra means a music school or art school. Music, art, right? Kalakendra. So it says kalabi. So in the most of the translations, they don't even translate that word, kalabi. So that, to be a little more specific, they're rupataya kalabi, because it has two meanings. Kala means expansion. Kala, this is what I saw from some commentators, specifically Sri Jiva Goswami Pad. I must say that we gave class in VIHE on Brahma Samhita years ago. And those classes are recorded, and there's a CD on our, SoundCloud. And it's called Brahma Samhita. There's a class on every single verse. And I had the commentaries, different commentaries in front of me, and summary studies of Sri Jiva. But later, our beloved Bhanu Swami has translated Sri Jiva Goswami's comments on the full Brahma Samhita. They're very wonderful. I have them on my folio. They're very extensive and wonderful. If anyone wants to study Brahma Samhita, I can send the soft copy, or they can buy the book also from Vrindavan. For example, we say Govinda Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Adi Purusha generally is translated, Govinda is the original person. All other forms of Godhead, they come from Krishna. He's the origin. But there's no origin in the sense of beginning, because everything's eternal. All forms of Vishnu are eternal. They're not coming from someone. They're eternally existing. So Sri Jiva Goswami Pad says, which I didn't know in 19, whatever, 90 when I gave that class, it's recorded. It wasn't available, this knowledge, but it's available now, that the word Adi, Adi Purusha, doesn't mean the original, the origin. It just, Adi Purusha means he's the supreme. It just means that. Of all the forms of Vishnu, he's the supreme. Supreme in terms of rasa, ras, and in terms of tattva also. At least that's our Gaudiya view. But his supremacy, he's par excellent, or the unprecedented supreme king of all rasas, Rasaraj Sri Krishna. No form of Vishnu embodies or exhibits the degree or the amount or the intensity of ras that Sri Krishna does. But many Puranas, including the Bhagavad Purana itself, and many scriptures, they say that Vishnu is the origin of Krishna. So this, of course, our Goswamis don't give that tika, they don't give that explanation. So when you read the commentaries, it's very interesting. Like the story, the Krishna book story of Mahavishnu. Anyway, we'll try to stay with the gopis and not go into too much tattva. Because I have keen interest in tattva and also in lila, so I'm always pulled in two directions. Actually, frankly speaking, I'm a little bit more leaning towards tattva than I am towards lila. Although I like lila too much, but I always liked philosophy so much. So I'm a little dry that way in Rus, you know. But because I come from a rationalistic background. I'm not an Occidental man. I'm not an Oriental man. I'm an Occidental man. Orient means the East. And Occidental men, they like to know the facts, you know. Like an Indian person, he meets a guru. You're my guru? Okay. I surrender. I have faith. And that's it. Plus, how are you a guru? Why are you a guru? You're a special kind of Indian. Very discriminative. But generally, they ask lots of questions, but they have faith in guru, vishwas. But the Occidental man, the Western person, they have to study very tightly, magnifying glass, you know, and this, that, and I understand, which is also good. But our general outlook towards everything is linear thinking, cause and effect, logic, reason, all these things. And you enter into Veda, into Shrutis, and into Lila, and into Eastern thought and Buddhist, the philosophy of Buddhism or Hinduism or Advaitavad or the Vaishnava philosophy. It is all achintya Veda, Veda Tattva. It's very difficult to understand. And Jnani Priyasam Urupasya Namante Va. This is in Brahma Stuti in the 10th canto, chapter 14. Brahma is saying, Jnani Priyasam. That you can't, you know, so much Jnana and so much philosophy, at some point that has to retire and you just have to believe and you just have to accept. These are our stories, these are sacred, that Krishna, that it's all these points that. Oh, the fifth canto is saying all these things about the universe. I don't know what the fifth canto says. You try to figure it out. I want to serve the gopis and Krishna. But the fifth canto doesn't agree with the nuclear physicists and scientists. Okay, go to Badrinath. Walk up in the mountains. There's one gufa there called Vyas Gufa. Go in the Vyasa Gufa. That's the cave of Vyasa. And discuss it with him, okay? You can go, you know, Madhvacharya went there and he discussed Bhagavad Gita with him. And he got inspired with his Bhagavad Gita. So if Madhvacharya can do it 1,000 years ago, Madhvacharya went to Badrinath, he went to Badrinath and he asked some sadhus, where's the kutir of Vyasadeva? Oh, Vyasadeva is kutir. It's right there, you go there. So he went there and he came back and he got inspired. I'm sorry, I don't have time to figure out what's the planetary distance between the sun and the moon. You can spend 5 lifetimes running around in circles with the fifth canto and the modern scientists. They may be right, they may be wrong. Kartum akartum, kartum akartum, anyakartum, sa ishvara. Or Lord Chaitanya speaks the same verse in the third canto of Anti Lila, and he says, Samartha. He says, Samartha. He says, everything. He said, Krishna, Kartam, akartam, you can see the same verse. You look up this line and see if you have one volume. Yeah, samartha. He put samartha Ishvara. And then when Lord Chaitanya, so that's Lord Chaitanya speaking. Because who's he speaking about? He's speaking about Jagannath. And what's the context? It's Gopinath Nayak, how's that name? The brother, Gopinath Padanayak. He's a Brahmin, it must be. He can't be a Brahmin. How is it he's a Brahmin? Because he's a brother of Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy is a Kayast, right? He's a brother. Anyway, he was a tax collector, and he was ripping off the government. and the king found out. Somebody squealed on him. Another tax collector who wanted his post, wanted his area. He was a tax collector for the king, but from a poor neighborhood, you know, where Mahamantra lives. So he was only getting a few rupees. So he wanted to come to Ramchandra Gera and be the tax collector because it was big. You know, even the property here cost twice as much as anywhere else in Radhika. Why? I don't know why. At any rate, so they went to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy, his brother is going to get killed by the king because he's not paying the taxes. So he says, what can I do about that? I'm not sannyasi. I'm not a politician. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to the representatives of the case, he said, go to Jagannath. He's the boss over here, and there's no king bigger than Jagannath. He's the king of all kings. Deva Jagatpate, says in Gita. Deva Jagatpate. He's a Deva Jagatpate. He's the king of all kings. He's the Pati. Pate means he's the Jagatpate. Jagatpate or Jagatpati means he's the lord of the whole universe. Jagannath. Deva Jagatpate in Gita. So go to him, go to Jagannath. And then the person, they look at him, Jagannath? And then the next thing he says, Kartam akartam anya kartam samartam, whatever it is. Samartha, everything's with him. Any objective, art means art, we said, anartha, dharma, art. Art means objective, wealth, achievement, what you want, art. So he says, Samartha, everything is there with him. He can do, or akartam, he can let it happen, or he can not let it happen, or he can let something else happen. He can take Gopinath, Jagannath can take Gopinath off the gallows so he doesn't get hung or whatever, and then he can make him the king. Forget about getting free from the taxes. He can. So this is Bhagavan. So this is parts and parcels of Bhagavan can also do anything. So this was our introduction, and we read the translation. So now we can begin in our last few minutes, because every minute counts, because we started late. We can read Jiva Goswami's Tika, which we have here on this verse number 30. We start at verse 30, which is nice. Krishna, who is very dear to the gopis, has spoken to them as if he's not affectionate. Why did the gopis not withdraw their minds from Krishna? Because they had given up all their desires completely in order to attain Krishna, who had already completely captivated their minds with his transcendental form of condensed bliss. He's attracted to all minds. So this is his commentary on this verse, Sarvakama. It says, Preshtam Priyat. Preshtam prayataram eva pratibhashamanam krishnam tadartha krishna tadart krishnam tadart vinivartita sarvakama. So he's commenting on sarvakam. Sarvakama means all desires. So Jiva Goswami says they had already given up all their desires completely in order to attain Krishna. So what does that mean? That means this is the definition of bhakti, pure bhakti. Gopis are there. We read in the Mangalacharan, verse number 11 of the Mangalacharan of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It says, Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anokulyena krishnano shilanam bhakti uttama. Anya bilashita shunyam. Abilash shunya. Abilash shunya means no desire. All desires annihilated. Krishna tadart. They're only art, tad art, tad art. Tad art means that objective, that wealth, that possession. That's what we want. Krishna tad art. Sarvakama, we don't sarvakama. All our desires are for him. All our desires are for him. So this is the gopis. This is how we have to become. This is the definition of pure bhakti. It's fully exemplified in the gopis. And the more, no more, you won't find a better example of pure devotion. Which is, this is the definition. We're bhaktas. We're following the path of bhakti marg. So in the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami speaks the Mangala Charan. So in the Mangala Charan, he gives the Paribhasa Sutra. Paribhasa Sutra is a verse, Paribhasa, Paribhasa. Bhasha means language or speech, and pari means from all directions. I may speak on many subjects and from different angles. I'll talk about Didi Aparadhas, and I'll talk about Bhava, and I'll talk about Prema. I'll give you so many discussions about bhakti. But there must be Paribhasa Sutra. Sutra means thread, like in the Gita, 7th chapter. Sutra Mani Gana Iva, that all group of, Gana means a group of. So all the pearls, the group of pearls are all, they're all together because of the sutra. Sutra Mani Gana Iva, the 7th chapter of Gita. So this is Paribhasa Sutra. So all, this sutra means the thread, means the thread by which all the language hangs on, by which everything. So Paribhasa Sutra also means the shloka, the one shloka by which all the other verses in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they are defining this. And what is it? Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukalina krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Uttam bhakti. We want uttam bhakti. Uttamam bhakti means braj bhakti. Braj bhakti means gopika bhakti. Gopika bhakti means radha's prema. Unat ujvala rasa. Svabhakti Shriyam. Unat Ujvala Rasa Svabhakti Shriyam. This is the Paribhasa Sutra of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is also in the Mangala Charan. Chapter 1, Adi Lila, chapter 1 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adi Lila, chapter 1, verse 4. Right? What is it? Anarpita Charim Charat. Anarpita Charim Charat. Kananayava Tirna Kalo. This is after long Chiram Chirat. Chiram Chirat. Chira means Chiranjeev. He lived practically forever. Long, long, millions of years lives. So Anarpitam, Anarpita Chalim Chirat. For long, long, long time, the last day of Brahma, Krishna came. Then after Krishna, Gauranga came to teach what? Unat Ujvala Prema Sovakti Shriyam. He came to teach the unat ujvala means the madhurya ras, the parakiya bhava of the gopis, swabhakti shriyam, the devotion of the lotus feet of Radharani and manjri bhava, gopika bhava. Later, in so many places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's saying, atta eva gopi bhava angikara, atta eva gopi bhava angikara, atta eva gopi bhava angikara. Certainly, Atta eva, certainly you must, absolutely, gopi bhava angikara. Angikara means you must accept. Angikara, you must accept gopi bhava. This is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. This is the teachings of Mahaprabhu. Raghunuga Bhakti Prachara says in one shloka, he is, Lord Chaitanya has come to preach Raghunuga Bhakti. The six Goswamis are preaching Raghunuga Bhakti. Rupa Goswami is preaching Raghunuga Bhakti. Part 1, Chapter 2, verse 270 to 309. 40 verses about Raghunuga Bhakti. So this is the Jiva Goswami's commentary. We'll continue more with Vishnath tomorrow in verse 30. Just to read the translation again of the verse, so you leave with some meditation. This is verse 30 of 10th canto. Preshtam Priyataram. Priyataram. Priyataram is another way. He says, you're a Priya, but you're Itaram. Preshtam, you're our Preshta Priya. We say Vishnu Priya, Mukunda Preshta, Vishnu Preshta. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya. Preshtam. Preshtam Prashtaya. So Preshtam means You're my Preshtam, my dear. You're my Preshtam Priya. I mean, how dear can one be? Priya means dear. And Preshta means the chief. You're the chief of all my dear ones, the main one of all my dear ones, Preshta. Preshta Priyam. So you're it, you're everything, you're our beloved, the dearest, supreme, beloved one. Preshtam Priyataram. This is Shukamuni's, not less. He's saying, you're Priya, Preshtam Priyataram. Itaram means you're our most dearly beloved, but Itaram, you're acting like opposite like a lover. You're acting like you hate us. Go home, swagatam, why, welcome, why you came here? Pick some flowers and go. What are you doing here? This is not the way a lover speaks to the beloved. She says, pratibhashamanam. He says, your basha is pratibhashamanam. It's like, Your words are of just that old, going the other way. Why you came? I don't care about you. What are you doing here? Does your mother-in-law know you're here? Is your father? Krishna's trying to remind him. You know, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law. What about your husband and your pati? What about Dharma? What about your father in Barsana? Does he know? You should go from here. What kind of basha is this? This is not Braj basha. This is Prati basha. They're not saying, you're not speaking Braj basha. Jumuna jaunge, you know, whatever is it, Braj basha is so it's a little like French actually. Sounds, it's oh, there's a lot of this oh sound, you know. And so you're speaking Prati basha. So we'll find out more about this situation that the Braj gopis gave up all their desires for their beloved Sri Krishna, yet he's speaking to them just the opposite of a beloved. The gopis have stopped, they stopped crying. Now they stop crying, they're wiping the tears from their eyes, they're standing straight, they're not hanging down their heads. And then they're crying and wiping their tears from the eyes. Because the gopis are firmly attached to Krishna, so they want to reply, but their voices just choke up in agitation. You, Krishna, oh, Priya, you know, this is Gadgada, Samramba, Gadgada, we'll read all these things tomorrow. So this is a very suspenseful moment. They're on the launching pad of the Pranaya Gita. We're about to hear the 11 verses, verse 31 to 41, called the Pranaya Gita. There are 6 Gitas in the Bhagavatam, and they're all important. All the Raghunuga Bhaktas must deeply study them, the 6 Gitas, Venugita and Pranaya Gita and Gopi Gita and Viraha Gita and Brahma Gita, Yuga Gita. How many is that? That's 6? 6, Yuga Gita. And sometimes the Rasik Jan and the Raghunuga Bhaktas, because Vishwanath and all of our Acharyas made interesting commentaries, and in the commentaries they sometimes compare and contrast Mahishi's prema with the gopis, the Mahishi Geet, chapter 90 of the 10th canto, is Mahishi Geet, where they are speaking something like a prema vaichitya. And the Mahishi's prema vaichitya, of course, is one of the types of separation, love and separation, vipralamba, prema vaichitya. Your prema, you become so mad and prema that you lost your consciousness. Vaichitta. Chit means conscious, and vai means without. Prem vaichitya. This is one explanation. So it means when you lose your consciousness, you can be mad. So prem vaichitya is a type of love madness sometimes. So prem vaichitya means they're praying, they're madhurya praying, they're parakiya bhava for Krishna, their intense amorous attachment for Krishna. Radharani sitting on Krishna's lap, next to a beautiful lake in the middle of a forest, just north of her own home. Radharani is in Barsana for 4 months a year. So first line the gopis say, describe Krishna. Oh, Krishna, you know what you are? You're Preshta. You're Preshtam. Krishna, yeah, I'm Preshtam. You're Priya. I'm Priya. Aitaram. Aitaram? Aitaram means Preshta means you're our dearest, dear beloved, and you're really dear to us, but you're etram. Etram means you're opposite of Priya. I'm opposite of Priya? Why am I opposite of Priya? Why? Pratibhashamanam. Because you're speaking all terrible words. You're not speaking at all like a Priya or a Preshta. He kind of hangs down. Oh. But what about us? This is you, line one. This is the Nayak, line one. We pinned you. We identified you. Now we'll tell you who we are. We're Krishna Tadart. Krishnam Tadartha. Tadart. The only that art, the Krishna art. I don't mean Krishna art. Krishna art. Krishna art book. You're like, with Krishna Tadart. You are the you Krishna, you are our only object. Acha, I'm your only object. You are our only object, you are our only objective, and you are the only art we want. We have no anarthas. We're anarthas. We don't have any anarthas, anyata artha. We don't have any other things. Tadart, Krishna Tadart, because anartha means, everyone knows anartha, means unwanted things, means other art than Krishna. Krishna, that's why we are not pure devotees, because we have anarthas, and the gopis have Krishna Tadartha. You get it? We are jiva Tadartha, anartha. We are anartha, and they are Krishna Tadartha. We're Krishna Tadartha. Acha. And what do we desire? Sarva kama, all our desires are you. And you desire food, and you desire to steal this yogurt, you desire to go with this gopi, that gopi, you desire to go with the cowboys. You have so many desires. Akama sarva karma va moksha kama udharadi. Ti reina bhakti yogi yajita purusham. So you can never be peaceful. You can never be peaceful. The only, how does it say that verse, the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Bhukta mukti siddhakami sakale ashanta. So, you know, you have so many desires, Krishna. Bhukta mukti ashanta. But Krishna bhakta naishkama atta eva shanta. We are Krishna bhaktas, Krishna tadartha, Krishna bhakta atta eva shanta. Only we are shanti because we sarva kama, all our desires are for you. You have so many desires, so you're always disturbed, you're always anxiety. And anxiety. So disturbed people, they always do something. They always whistle or they play some flute or something, you know. So you're always walking around, then, and you're so restless and so impatient, you can't even play just one flute. You play one, you have three in your bag. So you pick up one, little one, Venu, do. That's boring. Then you pick up the Vamshi, that's a little longer and sounds a little, ooh, oh, that's no good. Murli. That's no good. You're so restless, you know. You can't keep your hands on anything. One minute you have your hands all over the butter and yogurt. Next minute you have your hands all over the cowboys wrestling and throwing. Next thing you have your hands all over the gopis, and that's like, you know, watch out. So this is what's telling here. Preshtam Priyatanam Eva Pratibhashamanam. Can you imagine Pratibhasha? You're speaking, but it's all terrible. Galact. It's all galact basha. It's all against us. So tomorrow we'll find out more about this verse and then the first thing the gopis say. There's so many nice comments, Vishnath. Because we want to be in that scene, you know, be in that scene. How they feel, how they think. Because how do we learn what is pure devotee? How do we develop pure love? That's why you worship the gopis. Everyone says, no gopis is taboo. How they feel, how they think. Because Arjuna asked Krishna the same question in the Gita. How does a transcendentalist speak, act, this, that, the other? Forget about it. We don't want to be transcendentalists. We don't care about being transcendental. Why don't we care about being transcendental? Because transcendental means you go to the spiritual world. We don't want to go anywhere in the spiritual world. We want to be in the dust of Radharani's feet as pure lovers of Radharani and Gopi Bhav. So, Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kami Mama Janmani Janmani Shri Bhavatad Bhaktir Hoiti Pitui. Krishna's, you know, Radharani's praying there. She wants Bhagavad Bhakti Hoituki. She only wants pure love for Krishna. But we're not in the Radha Bhav. We're in the Sadaka Bhav. So we want pure love for Radharani, Radha and Krishna Yuga. So Janmani, Janmani, we don't care. We don't care about being transcendental. We don't care about going back home, back to Godhead. Our goal is prema. Prema means seva. Prem seva Radha and Krishna. We see when devotees are doing bhajan in this world and they're deep in their bhajan, they're not in this world. They're not in the world of birth and death. They have transcended, although they're embodied and they're living in the world of birth and death. You know, I live or I die. Jivana Marana. Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna Pranamor, Jugala Kishor, Jivane Marane Gati, Aro Nahi Mor. Jivane Marane Gati. If I live or I die, let me live or be born in Radhakund. And I'll do my bhajan. I'll meditate on Madhyan Lila especially. And all the Leelas. Because when you get the treasure of bhajan from the mercy of Guru, and then you just have to go deeper and deeper. You're already given the scuba tanks. You're already given the mask. You're already given the flippers. You're already given a wetsuit, neoprene or whatever they got. Now go, man, dive. Go to the coral reef. See what you can find. Come up with the colors. Find the variation. There's unlimited things underwater. There's unlimited things above the water. And there's unlimited things in the bhajan, the world of bhajan. So the guru gives the mantra and he gives it. It's not a very complicated thing that we get here from the guru. But the complicated thing is this thing. Having shantiman, having attention, having time, having focus, having ruchi. The guru has ruchi, the guru has rag. And this is what he gives to the disciple. That's the only way a disciple can go anywhere in this path of Raghunuga Bhakti. The initiative, the energy comes from Guru. On our own, we just want to sleep and eat Mahaprasadam. But this Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a serious life of bhajan. And if you're relishing a taste and you're experiencing something divine and you're inspired to share, then you share. You read the Gita, 18th chapter. Krishna tells Arjuna, he said, Arjuna, I told you some very deep secrets. I told you a secret, Guhyam. And I told you another secret, Guhyatara. And I told you another secret, Guhyatamam. Then I told you the secret of all secrets, Sarva Guhyatamam. I told you four different categories of secrecy. Now, listen, Arjuna. Don't go tell anybody these secrets, not just anybody. They have to have adhikar and they have to be qualified. Acha. So, yes, sir. So then he tells, he said, you can don't speak. And then he speaks this verse, and you can see the commentaries of Baladevidibhushan. Sri Anuswami has translated all these commentaries. So Baladevidibhushan's commentaries in that 18th chapter of Gita and Vishnath, you can see what Krishna actually says. My teachings of Bhagavad Gita. What is Sarva Guhyatamam, first of all? It means the greatest of all secrets. What is that final, most secret, essential teaching that Krishna gives in Gita? Please tell me, my beloved students. Bolye, jorse boldo, radhe radhe, premse boldo, radhe radhe. Bolye, jorse. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji manamaskuru mame vashasi satyam te pratijane priyosime priyosime priyosime. This is Radharani. Radharani's in the 18th chapter, Radharani's in the 9th chapter, and Radharani's in the 12th chapter, priyosime. So this is what I told in Delhi, and they were all like, so we'll continue tomorrow by the blessings of Guru and Gauranga and Sri Krishna. His beautiful teachings of the gopis, Rasleela.